What part of this crisis did you see coming and what parts did you not see?
Well, I think very few, if any, saw the ferocity to which this crisis has enveloped the credit markets. I mean, we're now talking way beyond subprime, because if you add up all the subprime mortgages, you know, in existence, you may get $2 trillion, you know, maybe worldwide three. What we've seen in the last 3 to 4 weeks is a wipeout of $30 trillion in stock market values around the world, many times the worst case scenario for the losses. So what it is because our networks are so interconnected that that if one part fails, then that cascades onto other borrowers, and then fear rises, and that anxiety causes people to lend less, and it's a self-reinforcing mechanism that leads to a crisis. So it was very hard to ever think that that one segment, the subprime mortgages, could cause such chaos in the markets.
So we at National Public Radio don't want to unnecessarily cause panic. Yeah. In fact, we've talked about wanting to do a show, a reassuring show.
Yeah.
So give us some piece of good news.
Yeah. Well, there definitely is good news. The good news is that that the government is standing behind deposits at banks, is standing behind money market funds. That's something that Paulson announced in September. And this in and of itself, the fact that we won't let people's deposits go down the drain, unlike what happened in the 1930s, will save us from a depression, or in my opinion, even a very severe recession going forward. We're going to have a recession, and now it looks to be moderate. But because we are not going to let the average guy's deposit close up and go down the drain, that will keep our economy moving, so we will not have a repeat of the 1930s.
Can you assure people that the world's not going to end?
Oh yeah. I mean, a couple of ways. First of all, the world didn't even end in the Great Depression. We're not going to have anything that bad. And secondly, Japan, in its big bubble bursting that occurred in 1989-90-91, went into a funk for almost 10 years. But it never really got unemployment over 5%, and it was never a crisis like the 30s. So even if we follow the course into like Japan after their bubbles burst of real estate, which I don't think we will, but even that was not something that ended the world and produced dire hardship for the Japanese. So we're going to survive, and we're going to do better than the Japanese. We want to do even better yet.
A lot of people blame Alan Greenspan. You feel like he doesn't deserve all the blame.
No, not all the blame. I mean, there were many factors causing the interest rates to go down in the early part of this decade. Low inflation, Asian buying, Chinese buying of the Treasury bonds, low risk.
Which encouraged people to invest in these risky mortgages.
Exactly. And furthermore, I mean, Alan Greenspan controls a dollar interest rate, not the euro interest rate, not the yen interest rate. They were all down. Even emerging markets interest rates borrowing was at all-time low. So it was a worldwide phenomenon. We shouldn't just say it's Alan Greenspan's fault that interest rates were low and that started the bubble.
How did you get the name Wizard of War?
Well, I guess I've been putting out advice for a long time. And in the long term, I've been bullish. And that's the right stance to be. And I believe so even today. I think that people who buy stocks today will be well rewarded in the future. I will also say it's going to be very volatile in the short run. If you need the money next week, next month, stay out of the market. But if you can afford to put it away for a few years, you will be happy that you bought stocks.
Jeremy Siegel, thanks very much.
Thank you.